Hi guys, it's your host Jamel and Tristan
with the Meet Me at the Bar podcast. Welcome back to Meet Me at the Bar podcast. My name is Tristan and I'm sat here with my co-host Jamel. Today we are having a bit of a summer vibe topics, shall we call it, and we're going to be talking a little bit about vitamin D, how that can affect your health and why it's quite important to consider sort of how much you're taking and whether you should think like supplement with it. And we're going to be talking a little bit about summer, the stuff that goes with summer, enjoying yourself in summer, so the food, the barbecues, the alcohol, the cocktails, and then a few other little topics at the end. So I'm going to kick off with vitamin D, and I don't know what a lot of people know about vitamin D, but it's been in the news quite a lot recently, around the whole sort of COVID side of thing, because it can have an impact on your immune system. So if your vitamin D levels are low, then that can impact your immune system, and then you can be more at risk of getting cold, getting viruses such as coronavirus. So before the whole coronavirus had even started, there is a lot of evidence, and it kind of shows that worldwide, and this varies from country to country, about 50% of the population are deficient in vitamin D. So, and that's a huge amount. And there's some of the main reasons for that is just generally our lifestyle as human beings. So for us people that live in the UK, we're quite unfortunate that we get... Fuck all, son. It's cloudy all year round, and then pair that with, say, if you work like in an office where you must spend most of your day sat inside, and then if you think about that, we're always wearing clothes where we're not maybe showing too much skin, that sort of thing. So over a while, you can start to easily kind of get deficient, and the way that you would get vitamin D is from the sun. So, well, that's a good reason to go topless more, isn't it? So you can get a bit more, right, bit more vitamin D.
Don't take any videos from this next
So you've got that as to think about, and then if it's quite hard to get from food, so the way we get most of our vitamin D is from sunlight going into our skin, and then we are able to sort of develop vitamin D from that, so from the absorption of sunlight. So, but from food, it's quite difficult to get. So to get kind of like the recommended daily allowances, you'd have to eat something like, I think it was something ridiculous, like 143 eggs in a day to get your 2,500 IU, which is kind of like the suggested sort of supplementation, which is a nice safe level to have. You'd have to eat like that many eggs, it's 143 large eggs, 6 liters of whole milk. So you can see how hard that could suddenly be if you were just trying to get your vitamin D from food. So that's why it's recommended to supplement, and a lot of people do supplement with pills. And it's a good idea to, just as like, because it's that safe to take, like it's a good idea just to have it all year round. In the summer when you are getting more sunlight, yeah, maybe you reduce it. The other thing you can do is get tested to get an accurate figure of what your vitamin D levels are, and you can go to places that, I don't think the doctors like doing it. I think it costs money, so they try and steer you away from it. But you can go to websites like Thrive, I think it's called Thrive, is it? Where they send you out like a kit and you can get tested and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a few things there, but then going even further than that with why vitamin D is important. So it can affect it's highly impacts things like your physical health and your performance. So how your muscles work, strength. So it's a good idea to be taken if you want to optimize your training, your gym workouts, that sort of thing. There are some evidence that it can even help with fat loss as well. So there's lots of reasons that you probably should be taking it. Do you take it, Jamel, or are you?
So about how I contracted coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually supplement vitamin D at all. And obviously, my mum saw something on the news, and it was about how most, something about fatalities related to coronavirus was due to, or had a common response of people had a lack of vitamin D. So I contracted it, and then because I live upstairs like by myself, when she brought my food up to me one time, because obviously I had to ice it by myself, her and her partner didn't get it, she then brought up like a pot of pills of vitamin D.
Yeah.
She was like, take these, and I was like, are you alright? Like, I'm okay, but that would be the only time I've ever thought to supplement them, and like, I was taking like one a day just to sort of like satisfy her. But
yeah.
Isn't something that I supplement.
Not usually,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones. It's a good idea to have, because chances are that you are low because of like what the evidence suggests and stuff. But you can get tested. And I was going to say something, and it's just completely lost my mind. That was going to say. So yeah. So with it doesn't work like some of the vitamins. So this particular vitamin, you can take like big like super doses. And you can build up your levels like that, rather than like say something like vitamin C, which is water soluble. So then there's only so much you can take, and it's not gonna like make a difference if you like, you need to take it every day for it to build up essentially. Yeah, with the COVID. Yeah, that sort of thing. So if you are deficient, what you need to do is basically take a large sort of like big doses for like maybe like a couple of weeks to get your levels back up quickly. That's the sort of thing they'd recommend. So I think I did make a slight mistake what I said about 143 large eggs. Now that wouldn't be the kind of recommended allowance, but that could easily be the sort of amount that you would need to take just to kind of get your levels back up to fairly normal. 143, I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
It comes up on my Snapchat stories, you know that? Ever heard of a guy called Matt Stoney?
No.
He's like one of these fellas that does like ridiculous eating challenges or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know the one of everything off the KFC menu and stuff. I reckon he could do it. Like, is it absolute truth?
I've seen these challenges. I bet there's like someone who's got the world record for it, isn't there? Like, yeah. The amount of raw eggs. Have you ever had a raw egg?
I've had a couple, like,
yeah.
Back in the day, obviously, with your mate, like you crack one each in a glass, and you're like, right, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Worst experience of your life. Like, why would anyone ever do it?
I've done it a few times, and I've never been ill from it anyway.
I've never been ill from it.
Yeah. Apparently, it's not. There is a risk of getting like salmonella and stuff, isn't it? I think. I can't remember, but. Going back to that with the vitamin D thing, it's difficult to get from food. So if you're not getting the sunlight, then it is recommended to get a dose. So get the D.
I'm not sure.
moving on. So with vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin, we'll kind of move on to, I guess, the next topic, which rolls in nicely, and that's, I guess, what the sort of things that we do in the summer. So I don't know about
barbecue and drinks.
Yeah, barbecue and drinks, cocktails, festivals. Oh, they're not on yet, are they? Oh.
Well, I'm just
crying.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess summer drinks and food is, for a lot of people, could be a massive downfall. But from my experience, I actually find it like a really positive. You tend to find that supermarket's selection of food in the summer is so much better. If you're like me and you're quite simple with your diet, and you have potentially like a seasoned protein source with then a carbohydrate and some veg, what you tend to find is when you go to supermarkets that they will do, like, for example, I bought a pack of chicken the other day that was coconut and mango flavoured something. So just some chicken breast and some coconut and mango, and like all of a sudden
Sainsbury's.
Yeah, it was. That just becomes like a really nice meal if you put like a carbohydrate with that, and it just saves me from my basic Cajun piri piri,
yeah,
etc. So Whereas obviously if you have too many burgers at the bank holiday weekend, then it can be a potential problem. But like, there are loads of benefits from the summer and the food that you get from the supermarket.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I think this, like, barbecuing is a pretty healthy way of cooking because you don't really have to use like any oil. And yeah, like, just,
and yes, you do have to track them.
And if you do, if you do eat meat, then yeah, there's like you were saying, there's like loads of selections you can get, isn't there? Like, of meat that's already marinated, pre-marinated in the supermarkets, or you marinate it yourself, and just whacking it on. It's, and I mean, personally, like, I'd have a barbecue every day of the week. Like, I love them. So,
if I ever lived in a hot country, I would never not barbecue. I think it is the best way of tasting food. It just tastes so good.
It shouldn't just be for like occasions. Like, I think you should make the most of it because, yeah, for the reasons of like, it's quite a healthy way to cook. It's quite simple. It's quite, it's quite hassle free, isn't it? As long as you.
Social.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
yeah,
even if you're not like with your mates, like whoever you live with, if you just stick the barbecue on, speak about your day and stuff, it's quite like a nice, easy, like relaxed approach. Whereas if you sat down in the winter and had dinner together, it's all like a bit intense, and I know that I don't want to do that at home all the time.
It's more laid back.
But if someone sticks a barbecue on, you're chilling outside, the sun's blaring down and stuff, like that becomes like a really positive experience.
Yeah, definitely.
It sounds like I'm in love with barbecues.
Well, I am as well, mate.
To be fair, we do it quite a lot in our house, so like, it definitely is positive.
Yeah, definitely. And like the things that go, so with barbecues, you can easily, like you were saying, like you just have like, say if we're talking about sort of like going down the sort of like the protein route and having some sort of meat as being like a staple, and then you can, depending on kind of what your goal is, you know, like if you were trying to keep your calories low because you had a fat loss goal, you could easily just pair that with more sort of bulky plate with more salad-y stuff. And you can cook a lot of vegetables on barbecues as well. So like peppers, you know, like some of these, like, have you seen the kebabs where you've got like all of your onions, peppers, mushrooms?
Yeah.
So like vegetable kebabs, and they can taste really nice. It's a different way of cooking vegetables. So you can kind of like build your plate up with that. You can go down the route of like bunless burgers. Like, you don't have to have a bun. Like you can just have the meat. It's not against the rules. Like, no one actually made that rule up. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'd love to have a burger with a bun, like every time. But like, you can choose to do that if you wanted to. And then yeah, and if your goal isn't that, then yeah, have as many burgers if you want. That, like, fill your boots.
Like, what you were trying to say is, it's like, it's easy if you're trying to follow or adhere to like a calorie deficit, then the barbecues can potentially be a stumbling block. If you go to someone else's house and they've brought all this food,
yeah,
and it's great and like you really appreciate it and stuff, you don't want to be that guy that's like, actually, mate, no, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, that's where it becomes hard, definitely.
I know I have that as a sticking point. Like, one of my best friends, like, we're family friends, guy Tony, I've been around his house with a couple of barbecues, and like, you really appreciate the food, and like, he's great on the barbecue, and you love it and stuff, but before I know it, I've had 4 cheeseburgers.
Yeah, I've been there way too many times. It's a difficult one, that it's probably one of the hardest things, isn't it, because you don't want to come across rude.
And you actually want the burger.
And you want the burger, and you don't want to cross rude, so you're in a pretty... So it's a difficult one, and like, there's no easy way around it. You have to pluck up the courage to kind of and kind of stand by your ground, and just like, you know, if they, at the end of the day, if they're decent mates and family, then they should fair enough, a bit of banter, but like, they should be accept your decision if you like are just gonna have a burger and no bun, just for example. Like, it should be okay, really,
yeah,
shouldn't
it? Side to that though, like, because there's been a lot of talk recently, especially in the news, like around sort of like obsession with food and diet, etc. Like, if it is like once a month and you're going to a good friend's house, like, what's the need to track the calories there as such? You can let your hair down there and have a good time, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to torture yourself.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's like, how do you, it becomes more of a like over the long run, isn't it? Like, so if you were kind of doing that every time, like if you kind of use the analogy of like money, like if you were going out spanking your money like every day of the week or every single weekend, like there comes a point where like if you're saving for a mortgage, maybe you have to prioritize which weekend you go out and spend that money. So you could say the same with like calories and goals, where you start to kind of prioritize certain social events where you do let your hair down and maybe you do track less or not track at all, that sort of thing. So it takes a bit of time, yeah. So yeah, definitely. No, you don't, like, of course you've got to enjoy yourself and you're gonna, aren't you? I think that's quite a good analogy to use that like that though. Like, and I think that does come on to what I was gonna say, wasn't it, about this, that what's in the news at the minute, where people, the government are thinking about putting calorie labels on pretty much everything. Or is it some weird rule that like if the company has like over 250 employees, then they have to do it? So for example, somewhere like Domino's would fit into that category. I'm pretty sure they already do have calories, but maybe it's gonna go to the next stage where it will be like on the pizza that turns up at your door. This pizza has 3,000 calories. This is three times the amount what you should be.
I think from like an awareness point of view, it's like it's good to be aware, but I don't think it's obsessive. That's down to the individual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whenever I speak to my clients regarding their calorie intake, whether they're in a surplus, maintenance, or deficit, I try to take, and I know you do as well, try and take the most flexible approach possible. So nothing feels like a chore. If you're, whatever your calorie intake is, if it feels like a chore, then the chances are you're not going to adhere to it.
No, that's it. It's not
sustainable.
Yeah.
So if you get that pizza on your doorstep and it does say 3,000 calories on the box, like that's okay, but you don't need to torture yourself.
No.
What it is that you've had 3,000 calories. It just means that 3,000 calories, that they are what they are, and then you move on the next day and
moving on
yourself over the next week, that pizza's not going to be worth it. So enjoy your pizza and crack on and move on after that. Like,
that's it. Yeah, and you can learn from it and you can make, you know, different choices the next time. Just getting back to normal is the biggest thing that you can do, the positive, most positive thing you can do.
And that's a massive message as well. Like, I think a lot of people would have a pizza and then eat salad and sweet corn for the next 7 days. Like, that doesn't have to be the case.
Yeah, 100%. And that's where like bad poor food relationships can start to happen. It kind of links in why there is this crowd or sort of food charities and stuff that are sort of very against the whole government decision around the calories and labels, because they're worried that it's going to promote sort of worse food relationships and eating disorders. Maybe it will for a small amount of people. It's definitely not like the whole population though. So I think, so there's always going to be people that are going to be pretty annoyed about this, and then other people that aren't, I guess. It's one of them things.
But then my argument is, if everyone was actually educated surrounding calories and what food does to our body and stuff, and actually people could look at the calories, then interpret them, then I don't think we would have as many bad food relationships, etc.
Yeah.
So
it's always like so many factors involved, but I think it can be useful. Like, I think you should be able to just go out and not have to worry about calories, but then in some ways that's when you get to that point by becoming educated and by like understanding calories and what's in them and knowing roughly what you require and stuff like that. Then you can just go out and know roughly where you're at and not really look at the labels. Like, they're just there if you need them. Like, and it's like an analogy I used the other day, like in a story. I don't know if you saw it, but it's like all the prices are on the menu. So you don't just turn up to a food place and there's no prices, and then they sting you with the bill. Like, so imagine if there just was nothing at all, and then you didn't have the money, you couldn't afford it, and then you just wasn't aware, and you choose a steak, and just think, oh, that looks nice. You have the steak, and then they bill you after and say, oh, by the way, that one's £100. Oh, what? You didn't tell me that. Like, you could kind of say the same thing with the whole calories thing. Like, if you wasn't aware that a pizza had 2,000 calories, would you have chosen it? Like, it gets to that point where you can make better decisions, I think. So I think it can be useful.
And then talk about summer food. I think we bypassed the most important bit, mate. Summer drinks.
Summer drinks, mate. Yeah.
So kick us off, mate. Drink of choice. Go into a bar. So I've invited
I feel like when it's hot and that, I do like a cider, like cider with ice.
Fruity or dry?
Yeah, fruity. So like summer fruits, like berries. Yeah, like summer, you know, like summer fruit, like Copperbergs and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Robinson
squash. Yeah, no, alcohol free. but yeah, I don't know. They're a little bit sweet for me, to be fair, sometimes. So I do a cold beer. I usually have like a couple of cold beers or a couple of cold ciders, and then cocktails. So then I would, yeah, like, and then nothing like necessarily fancy, but just like a spirit and a drink. So like, I'm not really. Do you like gin? Everyone loves gin, but I don't like it. I remember when someone told me gin doesn't give you hangovers. so I drank gin and like, I had the worst hangover fucking like ever. Like, just such a lie. Like, they're awful. But spirits, typical white spirits, so vodka, and then having that with like Coke, Diet Cokes, lemonade, soda, lemonade and limes, all these types of things, I quite like them.
So like, I picked up that light, obviously you said like specifically Diet Coke and Diet
Lemonade. Yeah.
Is that because you prefer them to full fat, or is that once again a conscious effort to sort of cut down on the calories in certain places?
Yeah, so I'd say like a bit of both. I think over a few years I've become quite used to liking that because I've had it so many times, and I've quite, so now with like Coke and Diet Coke, for example, like I'm quite happy with Diet Coke, like at any point. I don't, like the taste difference isn't enough for me to think, I definitely want the full fat Coke as such.
Okay,
yeah, what about you?
So I was always a cider man, but just recently my taste buds have developed, and I'm actually, I like a Sol.
Soul, yeah.
Or a Corona, but
Corona. What's that other one that's got like tequila in it? Yeah, they're not like them.
Very dangerous fella.
I like tequila.
But I really enjoy a Corona and a Soul, and it goes back to that thing where I don't have a bad relationship with alcohol, but I don't feel guilty drinking it because I know there's about 120 calories in a bottle.
Yeah.
So once again, if I knew that, you know, me and you were gonna have a couple of drinks at the weekend over barbecue, I'd probably save up some calories during the week and stuff, but then when it comes to it, I know I can have three or four and probably still be okay after it. So
yeah.
No, so you can go two drinks, I guess.
Yeah, you can definitely fit alcohol in. If you are like trying to get, so if you are trying to lower the impact of alcohol calories, then so sticking to things like shots and more clearer spirits, so vodka, tequila's not too bad actually. I think about between 40 and 60 calories per shot.
The old salt,
yeah,
shot, and then
vodka, gin would be a pretty good option, and then having them with mixers that are like a diet mixers,
yeah.
Vodka, soda and some limes, quite a good option.
Vodka, soda,
decent one. There are a lot of low calorie beers, but I don't know, I'm not really a fan of them, are you?
I'm not really a beer fan, mate, but the two that I just mentioned is as far as I go. Everything else makes me feel pretty sick, to be honest. But
And then actual like cocktails, like some cocktails can have like a lot of calories in, but there are some like Turtle Bay. I think there's like, if you look at the ingredients, like after a while you can kind of, you know which ones are going to have, like it's the ones with like all the syrups that are going to be lots of sugar, so the calories are spiked.
So there, I think it's the cocoa colada.
Yeah, stuff like that, and creamy stuff and milky stuff. Yeah.
That's just unreal.
Like, yeah. But it's like, oh, what's that one? There's one that's got like, because Prosecco is not too bad as well. So there's a cocktail there that's got Prosecco in it. I can't think what it's called now, but that wasn't too bad, I don't think. Well, it didn't really say the calories, but you could work out that it was pretty good. And there was a lot of vodka in it, so it still gets you drunk.
Fantastic. So, the main interest and advice from this podcast with Five Eyes is turn up to your barbecue with your top off, have a bonus burger, and shot vodka.
Yeah, that's the plan. Maximise vitamin D. Maximise your hangover the next day, but while minimising calories. It's brilliant.
Africa, fitness, mate.
balance, balance, flexibility. That's pretty much covers what we wanted to talk about with summer drinks and food, wasn't it? So,
mate, yeah. And then obviously, we're recording this on Thursday, yeah. So we just wanted to touch on something else that obviously happened last night. So
yeah, to get
watched that Man U lost the Europa League final.
And De Gea took a fantastic penalty and lost a shootout. I'm laughing because we are both Liverpool fans, so there is a bit of hatred towards them, I guess. But
if anyone has Tristan on Facebook, then you'll know that he's a bit more public with it than I am. But he really has a dislike to Man United.
Only because I get so much abuse from United fans, but it's all fun and games, isn't it? But
you should have seen it. They're all like, I watched it at the pub last night, and everyone, like all United fans, were watching it like head in hands, like no one was saying anything.
Really. I was going to say something, like put it on Facebook, and because what happens to Liverpool lost the Europa League final, the UEFA League, which is like the one down from the Champions League. And when they lost that it was, well, after that, the following year, I think they won Champions League. So basically it followed on to a lot of good things. So if you're not United fans, could potentially, if you look at it from that angle, like maybe it's a good thing. But yeah, so one of the reasons we wanted to talk about this was, again, sort of something that's been in the news a lot recently.
So, like, abuse on social media. So, obviously, Sky Sports did an article earlier about, I think Rashford said he had, like, over 70 racial slurs last night or something, like, directly following the game. And I just think it's, like, disgusting, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yes. But regardless of how someone plays, if they're a good footballer, if they're a bad footballer, like, why does race, why does someone on social media think that they can, like, push a few buttons and then, like, say hurtful things to people, like, they just don't agree with it, and just thought it would be, like, an injustice to sort of say something to my friends but then not speak about it on the podcast, because obviously we want to speak about different things on here. And especially, like, it doesn't matter who you are, but Marcus Rashford's done, like, so much over the last 12 months.
Mm.
For the kids and whatever, you know, it's all been on the news, we all know what he's done. And then, and I'm, as you said, I don't like United, but like, why is there need for anyone to say that, like, let alone?
Yeah, it seems to be like in football, it's at its worst. Like, people seem to be able to just think that they can say what they want and like abuse. Like, it's one thing like abusing another fan because of a club, but then like abusing the players, like, that just seems. Like, it's just stupid regardless of what it's about anyway, because it's kind of like, well, you know, they're playing the game that you're watching and being entertained by, isn't it? So it's a weird thing, but yeah.
Also as well, like, if you think he had a rubbish game, then, like, call him rubbish at football or whatever. Like, say he didn't have the best game. Like, oh, he didn't have the best game tonight, but why does there need to bring, like, race into it? Like, did you see on Instagram that girl in Birmingham? From last weekend.
I did see that, yeah, that was savage. Yeah, that's bad, yeah, really bad.
All right, he's not let you in and stuff. Like, he might rubbish his job, but
glad someone filmed that.
Yeah.
Because now she's got to live with the repercussions, I guess, now, isn't she?
She should just be embarrassed.
Mm.
And the easiest thing is, obviously, like, anyone can log on to Twitter and make, like, a fake account or whatever and call themselves, like Football Fan 20 and
yeah.
Have, like, no repercussions. Mm.
Yeah, I have heard them talking about this whole, like, I do think that's probably the right way to go, because I think that will cure a lot of things, actually, by forcing people to have a social media account. You have to, like, give your ID or your passport and that. I know some people will be like, oh, that's like another way of controlling you, but it's social media right now that's causing so much of this, of the abuse, of conspiracies, false information, misleading information, because people can get away with it. Like, so I do think, like, that's like I don't it's not that I want it to be, but I think that's probably the right way to go.
And I think, like, for two people that, like, use, like, social media quite a bit, I think I saw that girl actually got arrested following
did she?
That video, like,
yeah,
which if she did, I'm yeah. Not certain, so I don't want that, but I think I did see something saying that she did get arrested. But, like, what's the difference from her saying that to that guy and then someone then tweeting that to someone, like, it's exactly the same though. So I do think you should be held responsible to what you say over social media in that sense, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully they bring something in soon. So we are going to wrap it up there. Thank you for listening again. So we will be returning with another episode next week. As always, where to find us if you want to speak to us or ask any questions, or you would like to even suggest a topic that we talk about on one of our podcasts, then please find us on our Instagram pages, which is myself, @_Tristan.
Please
review it, subscribe, and yeah, any of those things, sharing it as well. So thanks a lot.
Peace.
Cheers.